Welcome to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin. Bob Dancer is America's premier video poker writer and teacher. He's written 10 books, including Video Poker for the Intelligent Beginner and the best-selling Million Dollar Video Poker. He helped develop the computer software Video Poker for Winners, and in 2004, he was inducted into the Video Poker Hall of Fame. Richard Munchkin has been a professional Advantage player for over 30 years and is in the Blackjack Hall of Fame. His book, Gambling Wizards, Conversations with the World's Greatest Gamblers, is a testament to the many ways you can succeed at gambling. The goal of the show is that you'll be a more knowledgeable gambler tomorrow than you were yesterday. And now, here are Bob and Richard.
Good evening. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. My name is Bob Dancer.
And I'm Richard Munchkin.
Our guest tonight is Anthony Curtis, publisher of the Las Vegas Advisor and Huntington Press. Anthony keeps close tabs on gambling in general and Las Vegas in particular. And so we'll be having a roundtable discussion tonight about a variety of gambling topics. Anthony Curtis, welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
Thank you. Good to be here once again.
First on our list is something bizarre. Wrestling is largely known to be a scripted event. That is, all the participants know who's going to win and how the fight's going to go down. Although wrestling at the Olympic level or collegiate level is a serious event requiring all kinds of strength and athletic skills, wrestling at the commercial level is a joke. Still, the online internet company, Bovada, accepts bets on WWE's Super Bowl called WrestleMania. This year, the heavy favorite, Undertaker, lost his match to Brock Lesnar, and apparently Bovada took a bath. Richard, what do you make of this?
I just was flabbergasted when I read the article. I couldn't believe that they were taking bets on that. And what a surprise that there must have been a lot of people with inside information. I mean, it's just ludicrous for them to take bets on something like that.
They say they're willing to do it again. Who knows?
Back 30-plus years ago, I remember the Castaways put up odds on who shot JR, you know, on the Dallas program.
Uh-huh.
And before gaming came in and shut them down and, you know, told them you're not allowed to take bets at that time, you're not allowed to take any bets on non-sporting events, it was pretty clear that people in Hollywood were coming out to bet that word had leaked because all the money was going down on whoever it was who actually shot JR. I never watched the show. So.
Now, Anthony, many years ago, you were a pretty good wrestler. Do you have any insight into how this event, you know, how this and the betting on this went down?
Well, first of all, I mean, the wrestling I did was different. The wrestling I did was, as you said, like Olympic style, collegiate style. The thing to understand is big time wrestling is mostly about theatrics and entertainment. But a lot of these guys are really, really good athletes. I mean, especially in the last two decades, a lot of these guys came from the ranks of some collegiate champions and even some Olympic talent. So you get some really, really good guys there. But yes, it is scripted. And as far as the Bovada thing goes, I'm certain that they just wrote it off to advertising. And, you know, the maximum bet on that was either $50 or $100. So you could only get down so much. And they're like, how much can we actually lose on this? I mean, how many people with inside information are going to get 100 of their friends and beat us for a little bit of money, 10 grand, whatever, and it's worth the advertising? Because I've seen this story all over the place. So once again, brilliant, I would say.
Huh. Yeah. All right. Now, Sheldon Adelson, owner of the Venetian Palazzo and some casinos in Asia, his anti-online gaming stance has now reached the U.S. Congress, with South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham introducing a bill to ban online gambling. Is this something to worry about?
Well, the meta question is, I mean...
Why don't you ask the better question, and then we can answer that one.
The meta question. The fact that
Oops.
You can
it's buy. It's the beta question.
Yeah, the fact that you can buy a senator so easily. I mean, yes, that I think is something we all ought to be worried about. But the actual bill, no, I I think we're going to have internet gambling nationwide in, I don't know, 5 years, maybe quicker.
Yeah, I don't think this can be stopped. You know, Adelson, he has a lot of money, certainly, but it's already been proven. He wanted a Republican in the White House, and he tried and tried, and, you know, all of his money and all the King's men, you know, couldn't stop Obama from winning again, you know. And I just think that it's going to – there's some interesting things. I've seen this one ad. Have you seen this ad? It's on right now where it says – essentially it's saying that Angry Birds is a gateway to gambling addiction.
Oh, yeah.
And it's got the little kid playing Angry Birds, and he's like, I found my dad's account, and now I'm playing for real money, and roulette is really cool, and poker's the best. And, you know, it's actually pretty compelling because at the end he goes, it's all on credit cards, and so we can pay it back later, right? And, I mean, it's actually – it's pretty compelling, but – I think it's good. People can hear both sides. But can you stop this tidal wave? No, there's no way. I don't think there's anything to be worried about for people who want online gambling to become a reality.
All right. Richard, last week you said after the show you were going to take a ride on the new Ferris wheel at the Quad. Did you get that ride, and did you have a good time?
I did get the ride. I had to come back this week to do it. So I went yesterday about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It was empty. I mean, empty. There was nobody. There was one couple that went through at the same time as we did. But I could see into the cars, you know, as they were coming through before we got on, and nobody was getting off. And so it was basically me, my wife, my son, and one couple, one older couple. You know, it takes 30 minutes. My son's one-word review was boring. Of course, he's a teenager, so, you know, they don't get enthused about a lot. The one thing that was really surprised – I put a bunch of photographs up on my site of it, but the one thing that really surprised me was – as we were going up, at one point, you know, they have some guy on a video monitor blathering away. And at one point he said, we're now 420 feet up. That's 420. So you know what that means. We're high. And I thought, and I was really kind of shocked. I mean, I laughed, but I also thought, wow, you know, marijuana has gone so mainstream that corporate, you know, America is willing to make jokes like that. And I also thought it's really kind of a perfect joke because the people who get it are going to chuckle, and the people who don't are not going to be offended by it because they will have no idea what it means. Wow. So for those of you who don't, you can Google just the number 420, and, you know, it's basically sort of a code word for smoky pot.
I would not have gotten that joke. But okay, so I'm not offended. Yeah. Anthony, did you have you been on this yet, or do you plan to?
I haven't been on it yet, and I certainly plan to. All I can comment on this is myself, Mr. Know-It-All, is apparently going in the wrong direction on this one. I was sure it was gonna be great. I was sure it was gonna be packed right from the start. Not necessarily from the start, but I would still lay my bets that it's going to be a success. I mean, and I base that on going to London and seeing the London Eye and the lines there and such.
I have to say, I rode the one in Chicago. And now this was 15 years ago. I don't know if they've changed it. When I rode it, it was open air, and we rode it in December. Mm. So I was with my son who wanted to do it, and, you know, we froze our tails off. But the big difference to me was – in Chicago, there was a ton of history and stuff that they were telling you about while you wrote it and pointing out, you know, points right. of interest, whereas this really had none of that.
I'm trying to remember. When I rode the Eye in London, I'm not sure there was that much commentary. But, of course, it's right on the river, and it's overlooking everything. And if you're with a local there, they can point out where all the different London landmarks are. It's pretty cool. It might just take some time to catch on. I was certain that this was going to just throw money like crazy. I thought it was going to go crazy.
It might.
So
it might. We'll see. For people who've never been here, you know, I think they'll ride it. If you are going to ride it, I would recommend going at sunset. I think that's really mm-hmm. the key time to try to do it.
What's it like inside? I mean, I haven't been there. Is there? There's not a bar and bathrooms and things like that, right?
Not
I
know they're really big. Not in the pods, but there is a bar before you get in, and they sell you drinks, encourage you to buy drinks to take with you.
So you got
to
be sure that you can last 30 minutes if you have a drink, right? No restrooms.
No. And okay. The pods are, you know, air conditioned, and so that part is nice. They say that the pods will hold 40 people. I would not want to be in one of those pods with 39 other people.
Doesn't sound like they have to worry about that right now.
Not right now. Okay. It'll be interesting to see what happens, though, this weekend, on a weekend.
I was there last weekend, which was really, really busy with the ACMs, the American Country Music Awards. I don't know. People were busy doing other things. I saw moderate lines, moderate. I was surprised at how short those lines were. It was full, and there were lines, but not long.
Hmm. All right. There's a new TV reality show called Money Talks. Anthony, you caught the premiere issue. What was that all about?
Oh, this one's crazy, man. This one's crazy. This is Munch. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
Okay, this is your kind of thing. This is CNBC. Put this guy on. His name is, they call him Steve Stevens. And Steve Stevens is supposedly the betting guru. He's the bookie killer. He calls himself the bookie killer. Well, really what the whole show is about is boiler room tactics. It's really about how touts operate out of boiler rooms, but it's not set that way. It's very strange the way this thing comes across. They put this guy up as a gambling expert, as a sports betting expert, but he never, ever makes a bet of his own. It's all about bringing the customers, and he's working his boiler room, and you see how it works from behind. Now, here's what's really weird about it. This guy, Steve Stevens, is a guy named Darren Notaro. I mean, he's been around. His name's Darren Notaro. Should be notorious, actually. I mean, this guy ran boiler rooms. He ran, you know, sweatshops of various sorts, and he's got a felony record for that when it was illegal.
Is this show basically a giant commercial for his tout service?
Not really.
Or is it like an expose, like these guys are sleazeballs?
Neither. You know, that's the thing. It's almost glorifying the whole thing is look at behind-the-scenes action in Vegas and how this thing works. And this guy comes off as an absolute, you know, as he wants to come off as the god of all of this stuff. And he's, you know, yelling at his people and yelling at his customers and all that. But then he comes off, you know, anybody who knows anything about sports, it's basically like, all right, here's what we're going to do in this game. We're going to buy off the 19.5. Now, if you know anything about sports betting, you sometimes buy off a number. You'll buy off of a 3.5 to get to a 3 or a 3 to get to a 2.5. Or you'll buy off a 7 to get to a 6.5 in either direction. But you don't go buying off no 19.5. I mean, you just don't do it. And later they bought off the 12.5, which is about as dead a number as you're ever going to get to the 12. There's absolutely no reason for this. So it's fraught with a lot of nonsense, and it's positioned in a really weird way that I'm not sure what they're trying to accomplish, but it's fascinating. It's fascinating because you see how these guys operate, which is just a total sweatshop trying to get the squares to give them money. And then, oh, by the way, here's the deal. As far as I understood it, I got to watch it again, but it sounds like every winner, he gets 50%. Every loser is on the other, and there's no aggregate. It's just, so you get half every time you win. It's not good. It's not good.
Oh, that's painful.
Yeah, but this is one of the weirdest gambling shows I've seen on TV in a long time. And I'm not sure where it's going to go, but there's really a rogues gallery of characters in this, starting with this Steve Stevens guy. And CNBC took a lot of heat going into this with a lot of people going, do you know who this guy is? And CNBC basically shrugged and said, it doesn't matter. This is just a show about this, and they really didn't care.
Wow.
You got to see it. You'll go hog wild with this.
I definitely will go check it out. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Richard, on your website, richardmunchkin.com, you recently ran a review of a movie called The Player Secrets of a Vegas Whale. What was that all about?
So this is a 45-minute piece on Don Johnson. I guess it was made for Bloomberg TV or CNBC. I mean, I'm not sure exactly. I think Bloomberg TV. But anyway, it's a 45-minute piece that's supposed to be about Don Johnson. And Don is in it. But really, if you just boiled down the talking to Don about what he actually did to win $15 million in Atlantic City. I mean, they're really talking about kind of three specific plays at three different casinos that totaled $15 million.
Did he actually net 15?
On those particular three plays.
Okay, so that wasn't his full net for the whole thing.
My understanding is his real net was far, far higher.
Higher?
Far higher over a period of time.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's my understanding. But anyway, maybe that takes up between 5 and 10 minutes of this 45. So there's all this other stuff. And actually, for me, that was kind of the more interesting stuff, because I kind of knew more about the Don Johnson story than they did. So there's all this stuff about how the recession impacted Las Vegas and what's happening now. And they mentioned the Echelon and that Genting has bought it. There are interviews with Steve Wynn and Loveman and Murren from the MGM. One of the craziest things, though, is Trish Regan says to Gary Loveman when they're interviewing him.
Gary Loveman being the CEO of Caesars Entertainment.
Yeah, of Caesars Entertainment, right. She says to him, you know, he says he's barred. Is it just because he's too good? And Gary Loveman says, neither could we or would we bar you as a player. And I just started laughing. I can't think of a company that has more lawsuits from players that were handcuffed and detained and, you know.
But that was Atlantic City. The lawsuit.
But
you know
they
about.
Bar people in Atlantic City now, too, all the time. I mean, what they do is, you know, they'll say you're drunk and disorderly or, you know, you raised your voice, you're belligerent. You know, they'll just make up reasons to bar you. And so they are barring people in Atlantic City. You know, it's really kind of a shame because in the early days, Atlantic City had a gaming control presence in every casino. There was an office there, and they actually had some teeth. And now that's all gone. You know, there's nobody in the booth in the casinos. And, yeah, you can try to call them, and maybe you'll hear back, and maybe you won't.
They can't afford to pay them there anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's really bad in Atlantic City. It's just the numbers there are just spiraling down out of control. And I haven't been there in a long time. I used to go there a lot. I used to go there a lot because they had great tournaments. When I was playing the tournaments circuit, I would go there and we'd play million-dollar tournaments at the Taj and million-dollar tournaments, you know, half-a-million-dollar tournaments at the Trop. And Atlantic City had a bad rep, but it was a fun place to go because there was stuff behind the boardwalk if you knew where to go. It was fun. And it was still a happening and vibrant city, but they've just been crushed by, you know, Pennsylvania and competition all around them. You know, it began with Connecticut, and then Pennsylvania was just a death knell for them. And it's really tough out there.
And Maryland.
Yeah.
And
Maryland
the online gambling that they have really hasn't been anywhere near as good as what they were hoping for.
Big disappointment in online gambling right down the, you know, right around the horn, everywhere. You know, obviously in Nevada too, Delaware is hardly a blip. Some people are bailing on it already with their, you know, their predictions of what it's going to do. I'm kind of looking at it like the high roller. I still think it's going to be good. It's just going to take some time.
All right, Anthony, this Sunday, something special is happening at LVA. What's that?
LVA is going to be, I wasn't ready for this. Hold on. We're going to do our third month in a row, something we call Sunday Fun Day, which is our free poker tournament. Last time I was on, we were just getting our social casino up, and we play poker every day in tournaments, which is a little different from what you find in some of the other social sites, which are all over the place right now. But we play tournaments for real prizes, which is allowed. As long as you don't have to put up money, we can do that.
And that reminds me. I won the blackjack tournament the other day, but all I won was free chips.
Oh, you only won free chips. Well, we do. Yeah, we have free chip. We have tournaments where you play against each other for chips, but we also have for prizes. Once a month, we have a big tournament where we give away $500 or $600 worth of stuff, and we're doing it this Sunday at noon Pacific time, 3 o'clock Eastern time. The prizes. Everybody who goes to the final table gets a prize, and here they are. First prize gets $100 cash. Now, you're not going to get rich on this stuff, but I'm just telling you, it's all free. $100 cash. Second prize gets a full LVA membership with all the coupons and everything else. Third gets what we call a suite of four poker books. This is like Kill Phil, kill everyone, decide to play great poker.
Razor's Edge.
Razor's Edge. Yeah, this is $140 worth of poker books. And we go on down all the way down to ninth place on the final table. You get a $15 Amazon gift card. Anybody who knocks me out, there's going to be a bounty on me, is going to get our book, The Art of Gambling, which is signed by both authors, which rarely happens because I've signed a lot of them. The lead author was my father. Most people know Art Flowers, and he's also signed this. So there are not many signed by both of us. So whoever knocks me out will get that. It comes out to about $615 in prizes. Last month we had 151 players, but only about three quarters of them actually show up. So you're looking at about a monster, like maybe $3.50 to $4 EV. But
if
it's fun.
You're an average
it's fun
player
on Sunday.
If
it's
you're
fun.
An average player.
Yeah, you just go to play.lasvegasadvisor.com or go to lasvegasadvisor.com and just click through the links and do it. It's fun. I mean, it's a blast. People yell, talk to each other and everything else. And we're building it. And I've got some deals pending with some casinos. I think by next month, we're going to have like a free casino vacation at some place or another. This is get involved. This is going to be cool.
I play occasionally. There are still bugs. I mean, people have to realize you're still working on the software. There are still bugs. Sometimes you get kicked out and you can't get back in.
That happened the first time because we crashed it because we had no. I told the developers, I said, a lot of people will come for this. And we had 303 people sign up and it crashed the site and it screwed up. Now, last month it went off, boom, without a hitch. It went all the way through. And I'll tell you, man, it's fun. Anybody listening should do it because it's going to turn into bigger stuff. And we can do it because we have so many books and things to give away at LVA. You should see my warehouse. It's just full of money laying on the ground, and we just need to get rid of it somehow. So rather than remainder it, give it away, destroy it, whatever, we're giving it away as prizes.
Any chance first prize will be my book and second prize will be two of my books?
First prize is $100. I'll tell you what, we can make it. All of Bob Dancer's products are $100. How about that? We'll see what they say. I'll bet the 100 wins. How about that?
All right. Including the software.
Including the software.
Hey, I'd take the software.
All right.
The software is in this one. The software is fourth prize. Fourth prize is video poker for winners.
All right. Now, Richard, you went to the Smith Center recently. For those unfamiliar with this, the Smith Center is a lovely theater complex in the recently upgraded downtown Las Vegas. What did you think about it?
Wow, it's beautiful. It's great. And they have a regular jazz series there. They've got a lot of really great shows coming in. Man, it was just a terrific venue. The show I happened to see was The Tempest, which they put in a tent outside the Smith Center. I'm not sure why, maybe because there's some other show going on the main stage. It was directed by Teller, Penn and Teller, music by Tom Waits, and the choreography by Palabas Dance Company. So I was expecting just great things. Unfortunately, the play was just not that great. The Tempest, the lead character is a magician, a wizard, really. So there's a lot of magic in the play. And because Teller was the director, there's real magic in the play. And some of that was pretty cool. Unfortunately, the acting was just not up to what it could have been. So, yeah. So I loved the evening. I loved the venue. I will go back there a lot. This particular play, I'm sorry, I can't recommend it more highly to the listeners.
Yeah, the downtown Vegas, for those of you who haven't been there in a couple of years, it's hard to recognize it. It's really revitalized.
Yeah.
I have to say, before we went to the play, when I lived here 35 years ago, I used to go eat at this little place on 4th Street downtown called Chicago Joe's. It's this little Italian restaurant, and it's still there, and it's in a house on 4th Street, almost to Charleston. And so we went there last night. The food was really good.
Chicago Joe's was in the Las Vegas Advisor, every month we do something called Local Corner. And two issues ago, Chicago Joe's was the Local Corner. And after all these years we've been doing Local Corner, for some reason it took us that long to get around to Chicago Joe's. It was fantastic. I hadn't eaten there, I hate to admit. And I was stunned at how good it was, how cool it was sitting in that little house and eating. I would recommend, I don't know if you tried it, the escargot. The mushroom cap escargot is as good as I've had in town for something like $8.95. And the only thing you got to know about Chicago Joe's that's bad is there's no bar with TVs. So if you want to watch a game or something, don't go there.
Yeah.
But if you don't want to do any of that, you don't have to worry. It is a really great place to eat in Vegas.
Yeah.
All right. There were a couple big-name deaths in gambling deaths this past week. Danny Robeson was an extremely good poker player, especially seven-card stud. Won at least one World Series of Poker bracelet, kind of a partner of Chip Reese. When I looked on YouTube.com and put his name in, well, a guy by the same name plays basketball, so he had to look for the one that was the Las Vegas. But there's this really cute video about him, him and Puggy Pearson going at it. It's real, and Robeson is a bundle of energy in this video and fast talking and really quite an interesting character.
I didn't know Danny. I met him a couple of times, but didn't really know him. But there were tons and tons of stories about Danny. Some of them in my book, Gambling Wizards.
Yeah.
In the Chip Reese interview, he talks about Danny a lot because they were partners when they first moved to town.
I'll take over there because he doesn't want, you know, Richard doesn't want to talk about his own book, but there are some really, really good stories in Gambling Wizards about Danny Robeson. And I had heard of him when I came to town. I had heard of him. And he was the, you know, what was he, lowball expert or whatever it was?
Seven stud,
was it? Okay, that was his game. He was like, in those days, there used to be specialists. And now everybody wants to play everything, and everything's hold'em, you know. But he was a specialist at that, and he had a great reputation. But I never met him, and I never knew anything about him. Then when Richard brought his manuscript to Huntington Press and we published it, of course, I got to read it all. And there's some really interesting stuff about him in Richard's book. And apparently this guy was something else. And he was very revered in the poker world. So it's pretty big news in the poker world, him dying.
Mm.
The other one. You want me to tell you about the other one?
Yeah, right. Denny Mason.
Denny Mason. I found this out yesterday. There's a guy named Denny Mason who was as Vegas as Vegas gets. I mean, this was a Kentucky guy, bookmaker in Kentucky, small-time bookmaker, came to Vegas, hit it huge in the boiler room business, in telemarketing. His offices were right around the corner, essentially, from where a place called the Tap House is. The Tap House is a legendary bar on Charleston, run by a guy named Jimmy Girard, who comes from the business back in Cleveland. And everybody used to hang out there, including Denny Mason. And Denny flew so high back in the 80s. It was huge. And I would go there, and I was just coming up in the business, and Denny was the man at the Tap House and all around town. Until the telemarketing, the crush came down on them from law. And a lot of these guys got in a lot of trouble, and he got in a bunch of trouble. And Denny went from the heights to the absolute bottom. But Denny was an inveterate gambler. He just would gamble on absolutely anything. And everybody in town right now, I've been talking to a lot of street guys over the last couple of days. You hear about Denny, you hear about Denny. Everybody knows. And it's as weird as it was, this guy was a degenerate, man. I mean, he was a degenerate in a million ways. But everybody he was renowned. Hmm. So, I mean, this is one of the most legendary street guys. And here's something. We talked earlier about that show, Money Talks. If you want to see him, Denny's in the show.
Oh, really?
Denny's in the show. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, there's Denny, man. He's dead, you know? And Denny's one of the guys working for this Steve Stevens guy. Now, it's actually a flip-flop because I'm pretty sure that Steve Stevens, as Darren Naturo, worked for Denny Mason, you know, in real life. And now it's flipped around in the movie. So he goes by his real name, Denny Mason. And if you want to watch that show, you'll see who I'm talking about. And he doesn't look anything. He used to be a real dapper, good-looking, slim dude and everything. And he just... You can just see the toll that Vegas has taken on this guy. And he died, apparently, I don't know how he died. They say he died in his sleep, and who knows if he OD'd or what he did. But this was the quintessential Vegas runner, man. He was the guy who was out there.
Sounds like an Archie Karras type.
Yeah, a little different from Archie. Similar to Archie. I mean, Archie's, Very similar to Archie, now that I think about it. Yeah, think about Archie Karras. What do they call him? You know, in Michael Koenig's book, the $17 million man, you know, he went on a $17 million runner. Very much. I can tell you, to the day he died, I knew Denny Mason pretty well. And Denny would tell me that a big wig in Hollywood owed him $11 million that he beat him out of in Gin Rummy. And the guy wouldn't pay. And Denny had a plan that he was going to hatch to force this guy to pay at some point. And Denny would bet on anything. He was an incredible foosball hustler. I mean, he and I, our ledger's fairly close, but I lost to him in foosball. I'm a pretty good player. He was better. Pool hustler, shuffleboard hustler, and certainly a card player. I mean, amazing guy. Amazing guy.
A few weeks ago, on the air, we told of an incident where a player had $400,000 confiscated by the police in rural Arizona during a traffic stop. I commented that if you're carrying lots of money, you shouldn't speed, but rather just proceed at the speed limit. I received an email basically telling me I was an ignorant fool. Apparently, in many cases, cars with out-of-state plates have been pulled over because they were going exactly the speed limit. The rationale is that drug dealers know to drive the speed limit, so any car doing so should be stopped just in case. Anyway, these police always have a dog with them and cue the dog to bark, and then search your car and confiscate whatever is found. Now, although attorneys such as Bob Nersessian can get most of your money back eventually, usually, this is time-consuming, messy, and Nersessian doesn't work for free. Now, Bob's going to be on the show in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, yeah, they will pull you over for driving too slowly, for driving too fast, or for driving the speed limit, as you say. Arizona is particularly notorious. And I've also heard now that there is a lot of people with Colorado plates get pulled over and get their car searched just to see if there's any pot in the car. But
is that, you know, to arrest them or so that the cops can get the pot?
Well, they probably confiscate the car. You know, it's really just highway robbery, you know, like the old days in England. Yeah. But I still, you know, at the time I said it was crazy to be driving with $400,000. Not that it should be, you know, there's nothing illegal about owning cash, but that's just the way this country operates right now. I would have put it in a bank and just, you know, sent it to my account. Now, and it's interesting about that story because I'm really curious about the people now have been charged with some sort of crime against the Harrah's Joliet for playing these keno machines. I forget what they call it, you know, some kind of not computer hacking, but something like that. And initially I thought maybe they had some kind of inside information, you know, from the people who programmed the machines. But now I'm thinking this may just be like that guy at the Silverton who discovered some bug in the software and was busy taking advantage of it, you know. Yeah. But who knows? I mean, I hope more will come out about what the case actually was that happened to these guys.
Well, I mean, if we're talking about the situation being pulled over, I don't know, man. When I heard about that and read about it, I just kind of threw up my hands and go, what can you do? Do you just stop transporting cash? I guess that's what you have to do. It's just like any other expected value equation. You've got to weigh the chance that you're going to be stopped and you're going to have your cash confiscated, or find a better way to do it. Because in the old days, I'd carry it all around, you know. But
in
the
old days, but it's changed. And the other thing is, I've never heard of a case where the cops get punished. So it's a free shot for them.
Yeah.
You know, they have no downside liability. The worst that happens is you get your money back.
Yeah, well, we could get all political about this, you know, about what the police do, what the IRS do, you know, how they use their authority to make money. You know, we've all been through that stuff.
Yeah.
And you've got to, in my opinion, it just boils down to a very rational thought process of what is the risk of me carrying this in my car through an airline, you know, line, you know, on a plane, on a train, and, you know, whatever. What is the risk of it? And you got to factor it in. Yeah. And if you haven't thought of it and it happens to you, then shame on you. And if you thought of it and guessed wrong, then you got to take what comes, you know? And otherwise, you got to treat the money a different way. You got to move it around a different way.
Yeah. Just put it in banks and pay taxes on it.
Exactly. Well,
you know?
There you go.
Pay your
you know?
Taxes.
Agreed.
You know.
Agreed.
Well, interesting you brought up taxes. In the LVA in April, there was a article on what you should do in Vegas if you have a tax rebate check and you want some kind of bonus on it. So, Anthony, what did you find out?
Well, it kind of happens every year around here. You know, if you look, if you Google tax deals, you know, or tax, tax give back, tax bonuses or rebate bonuses. You know, you Google this and you'll find all kinds of stuff that this company is giving you something small, you know, free French fries. This company is giving you, a free lawn trimming or something like that. A whole bunch of places do things that are tied to tax day. But nobody does quite as much as they do in Vegas. There's all kinds of things, and they're going to all show up on the 15th. Check your newspapers for sure. But what you can do, you know, after tax day, when you get your rebate, is there's three places that you can cash the rebate for free play. One of them is El Cortez.
What do you mean for free play?
For free play. You can cash your tax rebate, and they will give you X amount of free play. Like at the El Cortez, it's 5% of your tax rebate check they'll give you in free play. On a slot machine or video poker. So they just load your machine with $50 in free play. And you got to play it through once. You know, Bob knows how this all works, of course. And then it's yours. So it's, you know, it comes down to that old thing. Why cash a paycheck in a bank where they're going to give you a pen, Max Rubin once famously wrote in Comp City, when you can, you know, cash it at a casino and spin a wheel and maybe double your paycheck and everything else. It's kind of the same thing. So you can win up to $50 at the El Cortez, 5%. You can win up to $100 at the Cannery or Eastside Cannery. But the way it works out, because of the way it's tiered, is that any rebate check of $4,999 or less is better cashed at El Cortez. Anything $5,000 or above is better cashed at the Cannery. You'll get more money. It'll go over the $50.
Yeah, I thought you said you could only get $50 at the El Cortez.
Yeah, but the way it worked out, you're getting like 1.5%, 1.25%, this sort of thing. They've got a schedule at Cannery's that makes it so everything up to $4,999, it's better to take the $50, even though it seems like you're leaving something on the table. You're not.
Oh, I see.
All right, so you're better off. Anything above that, you're better going to the Cannery. You're going to get like 55, 60, whatever, based on their schedule. But it also turns out that there's a third one this year, which is the place way down on Racetrack Road, which is Club Fortune. And Club Fortune will give you up to $150 in free play, 5% of your check, just like El Cortez, but up to $150. So really, the best play of all is to go. You got to go way out there, way out on Boulder Highway, but you can get up to $150 in free play by going to.
Yeah, but how many? People have rebate checks of $30,000, so they can get the.
Well, it's true, but I mean, I'm just saying that the best play, it's equal up to $4,999. It's equal to go out there or go to El Cortez. So for most people, they're going to go to El Cortez. But if somehow
the numbers aren't working for me, but so I gather it's not a straight 5%. It's some graduated scale.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that makes more sense.
There's your scale right there. I mean, since they can't see it on the radio, here's how it works at the Cannery. For a check from $500 to $1,999, you get $10 in free play, which basically works out to like 0.5%.
I see.
It moves up, all right? From $2,000 to $2,499, you get $20 in free play, which works out on whichever side of that scale you are, 1% to 0.8% to 1%.
I get you.
See,
now.
That's how it works. So you can literally get to your $100 if you got a check of $8,500 or more, you can get $100. And, you know, same thing, you can get 5% of your thing at Club Fortune if you want to do it. So it really works out to Club Fortune or El Cortez. You know, why not get some free play?
Yeah, I mean, it's free money. It's too bad it's just not more. I mean, that it's bigger percentage.
El Cortez has done this for a long time. They'll give you 5% of, you know, your paycheck cashing. I mean, all government checks, excuse me, of all government checks. So anything you're getting, people on fixed incomes and things can always take it down there and get 5% at El Cortez. So you do that enough, you do it every 2 weeks or something, you know, it adds up. It adds up for people on fixed incomes. It's a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's a waste to have your Social Security check directly deposited into your bank account.
Well, you know, I mean, at my company, my publishing company, we offer direct deposit, and nobody wants to do it because they want their paycheck so they can go and cash paychecks. And I don't blame them. My accountant goes, "Let's get everybody to do this." I go, "No, they don't want to, and they're right not to, and we're not going to force them to do it."
Seems like your workers read your magazine. Go figure.
I would certainly hope so.
All right, so we got a this last Tuesday on my my weekly blog that's out on the Las Vegas Advisor site. I wrote about a case where it happened to be at the Palms, but it could be other places. At the Palms, you play for gift cards. This particular week, it is Chevron gift cards. Next week, it'll be Albertsons. And so it's the same promotion week after week, but it's a little bit different. And you can cash them early, and then at the last day, you just get whatever's left over. So the situation was, I posed, was what if you knew on the last day that you had a $50 gift card coming? But when you got up there, one of their workers was arithmetically challenged and said, "You have a $150 gift card." So I posed, you know, how many people would take that extra $100 gift card that clearly the casino management didn't want you to have? So my out-of-the-air guess was 70% of people would take the extra $100, and I have no scientific backing on that. But that was my guess. Then I went on to say, how would your answer different if in earning those gift cards you lost $1,000? Would you take the extra $100 then? Or another situation is, even if you broke even, if you had to stand in line for 45 minutes to get that gift card, would you take that gift card, that extra $100 gift card then? So I'm assuming most of us were raised more or less on the golden rule, you know, the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not steal, some variation of that depending on your upbringing. And this is clearly stealing, but we think most people would do it. And most people, I assume, believe that they're more honest than their other guys are. So that was... it was just things to think about. Richard, you read the article.
Yeah. I mean, we're both taking this class, you know, on irrational behavior, and a lot of these kind of issues are coming up, and they've done a lot of different kinds of studies. Yeah, I find it interesting. The other thing is, I think in my own case, for example, If the mistake happened in a casino, 100% I'm taking it. If it happened in a locally owned business, 100% I'm not taking it. You know, if it happened in Walmart, I'm taking it. You know, but if it happened in some other business that I like, I'm probably not taking it.
Joe's,
you know,
Cafe or...
Yeah, Chicago Joe's, yeah, restaurant, absolutely, I'm not taking it. You know, so it's just interesting. I mean, we grow up thinking there's right and wrong, but we all have these... I'm not saying my thinking is rational, you know what I mean? But I realize that I have these irrational beliefs about when it's okay and when it's not.
I think it sounds like you do what probably most people should do, is you set your own parameters about how you would treat a situation like that. For me, it's always been, what's the nature of the relationship? If it's adversarial, if it's me against the casino, then I would be more likely to say, look, it's every man for himself, and this was a mistake they made, so I'm allowed to capitalize on it. See, I don't see it directly as a stealing maneuver. I haven't put my hand into the till. I'm more on my game than they are. And I perhaps would keep that in an adversarial relationship. Now, once I've got my rules, nothing would change based on my result. All right, my result to that point. So if I had lost money winning that card, I would not be more apt to do something I wouldn't do otherwise. If I had to stand in line for far too long, then I felt I would take that as a bad decision on my part, and I would not be more likely to make that move. So I think what Richard just said is probably the way I would do it too. Is size up each one individually and say, how much are we actually doing battle here? And is this part of the game? Never would I, though, if I didn't feel it was part of the game that they would do it to me, would I cross a line like that? That's my feeling on it.
A couple weeks ago on the show, we had Richard Marcus.
He'll cross any line.
who wrote American Roulette. And he's a confessed cheater, and he's a really good one. And we have received some scathing emails from people who tell us it was a huge mistake to have him on, and that advantage players are not cheaters, and there's this big line, and we crossed it, and we shouldn't have, and blah, blah, blah.
And by the way, those people are barred from listening to the show, so you know who you are.
So for a month, how long should we bar them?
Yeah, a month. And if you listen the next time he's on, you're 86, though.
All right, good. That's clever.
That's crazy, though, because that's information. I mean, well, that's information from Richard. You
especially
know.
If you're a poker player.
My goodness, excellent.
You know,
of
if
course.
You play poker in the casinos and this guy knows that they're cheating you, you don't want to know it. I mean, it just.
And I'm the guy who keeps banging this drum, and people, and you're sick of hearing it, Munch, because you've heard me say it over and over. Originally, when advantage play was coined essentially by Steve Forte, it included everything from legal to illegal methods. Stealing is an advantage play, and it was always part of it, and it's morphed into this thing, into this holier than thou. We don't cheat, we're just advantage players. BS. People, advantage play has always been every way of getting the money. Sorry, it's true.
Well, then we need a new term. Is what you're saying. Yeah, we need to come up with a new name for for players that don't do anything illegal.
Yeah, something for us guys with the white hats to wear, to use. But what's true, one of the things this course that Rich and I are taking that I recommended to everybody is that everybody cheats a little bit. Some cheat a little bit more, but everybody cheats.
They did this really fascinating study where I have to try to tell this quickly, but so they did this study where they took college students and they gave them – they'd have these matrix, 3x3 or 4x4 with these numbers. And your task was to find the two numbers in the matrix that add up to 10, right? And there were like 20 of them. You had 5 minutes to do as many as you could. And so in the first group, the people would come up and they would hand their, you know, sheet to the teacher. Second group, completely separate, they would come to the front and the teacher would say, how many did you get right? And they would say six. And she'd write it down and say, just put it in the shredder. And they would put the, without her ever looking at it, they'd just put it in the shredder. And the third group, and they get $1 for each correct answer they did.
Yeah.
The third group, they would go to the teacher. She'd say, how many did you get right? For every one you get right, you get this plastic token. But you can take this plastic token down the hall and change it for $1, right?
Yeah.
So the people where the teacher was actually receiving it told the truth, and the real answer was a little over 3.
Yeah.
The people who were putting them in the shredder claimed to have done 6, and the people getting the plastic tokens claimed to have done 9. Oh, and the plastic token people also put them in the shredder?
Yep.
Anyway, the shredder didn't really shred them. So they were able to check. Everybody averaged just over 3.
Right.
But so everybody cheats a little, and it just made me think about blackjack teams.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Well, when it's opportunity. If you give them opportunity, then there's going to be more room for that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right.
And the more removed you are from the actual money, the more people tend to cheat.
Interesting.
All right. South Point has more than 10,000 games, returning more than 99%. That's more than anybody else has. Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, you play 2,000 video poker points and spin the virtual reel, which is right on your machine. In the first weekend, Bonnie and I each played 3 times for a total of 6 data points. Sometimes we receive free play and sometimes points, which could be converted to free play. Our scores were $7.50 twice, $10 twice, $15, and $75. Now, that averages almost $21 for each $2,000 in play, which means 1%. I suspect the actual number is lower than that. I doubt if we'll hit the $75 prize once every 6 times. But still, to figure out what the thing is worth, you need the data. So I was thinking everybody on VP Free will say, this is what I got, this is what I got, but that hasn't been happening. And on Wednesdays, you earn 2,000 video poker points, and you get a South Point logo polo shirt. The free video poker classes are over for this semester. They will probably begin again at the South Point in the fall. At the Palms, in April, every Friday night, 7 p.m., they have drawings. Each week, $10,000 is given away to 10 winners. You earn 5 times entries Friday and Saturday from 8 to midnight, 2 times entries Sundays and Tuesdays. This month's Play for Prizes used to be called PEW, are the Chevron gas cards. That ends tomorrow, starting Monday. It's Albertsons cards and Walgreens gift cards. VideoPoker.com remains the best place to practice a wide variety of games, including Quick Quads, Ultimate X, Extra Draw Frenzy Poker, Hyper Bonus, and many others. Often these games are the best returning games in a casino, and you need to practice to make sure you know how to play. The weekly contests for this week are 25 Play Draw Poker, Super Triple Play, and Cleopatra Keno. Let me talk about Super Triple Play. This doesn't have to be triple play. It can be 5-play or 10-play. But it's 6 coins per line, and the extra money goes to increasing the return for 4-of-a-kinds. While the game returns more than the base game with the same pay schedule, it also comes with 2 additional drawbacks, or additions depending on your point of view. First of all, the variance of every variety of Super Triple Play is considerably higher than the base game, simply because the extra money goes to 4-of-a-kinds. When you're hitting the 4-of-a-kinds, it's a fun game to play. When you're not, this game sucks big time. The other thing is you need it to learn a different strategy for this. So even if you know how to play bonus poker, you don't know how to play super triple play bonus poker because the pay schedule is all different. Now, the software Video Poker for Winners and a few others will give you a strategy. Now, in some casinos, this well may be the best game. And if it is the best game, it might be worth it to put in the extra time. Now, next week, we're going to have a blackjack player.
We hope. I haven't got confirmation yet, but I think he'll be available next week. His name is Dusty Pink Chips, and he played with the church team and should be an entertaining guest.
All right. And in 2 weeks is Bob Nersessian, the attorney. We've had a number of times when you go, we got to wait till Bob comes so we can ask him this question when he finally gets on the air.
I hope you wrote down all those questions.
That was your job. That was your job. Anyway, we'll make do. This is actually the first time he's been on the air since he was the winner of the Blackjack Hall of Fame at Max Schubin's Blackjack Ball. And
boy, it's been a long time since he's been on.
Yeah, we're going to have to give him a hard time about that. So I was actually delighted he won. Now, obviously, he won because we've given him notoriety on this show. So clearly, we get to some credit for that. Don't you think, Richard?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, we'll see if he agrees on that. All right, Anthony, we got about 30 seconds left. Any last parting words? We'll put you on the spot.
Let me think. No, it's just I'll tell you, it's great to be on a show like this. It's
this roundtable discussion is kind of fun.
And I like it. And next time you need to weigh in a little more. We need to hear some of your opinions as opposed to just directing the chorus, because you've got opinions. I've noticed
do.
Over the years.
I do, and some of them are right. But I'm sure of all of them, even the ones that don't turn out to be right.
It's great chat with you guys. Thanks a lot.
All right. We're glad to have you here. All right. So you're going to be in town another couple days with you and your son?
Actually, I don't think so. I think we're going to take off tomorrow.
All right. Good night, everybody. Go out and hit lots of royal flushes. Thank you, Anthony and Richard. Good night.
You've been listening to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin. Subscribe to the show in iTunes, and episodes will be delivered to you automatically every week. Archived versions of past shows may be found at bobdancer.com and richardmunchkin.com. We welcome emails at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin are both available on Facebook and welcome your questions. The sponsors for the show are the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa, the M Resort, the Palms Casino Resort, and the website videopoker.com. Join us again next week for another Gambling with an Edge.